You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Oh. You know, my car is all dirty because it rained. And when I was a kid, that was the opposite of what was supposed to happen.
It's supposed to only rain after it's clean.
Well, it rains and then it cleans your car. That's what the 80s were like.
Well, I've always believed that it will only rain once you wash your car. That's my belief, that it waits until you clean your car. So, True. Hi, Devin.
Oh, hello.
And for everybody listening, by the time you'll listen, it'll be a few days later, but happy, happy birthday to the master himself, Mr. Devin Masters.
Thank you. Thank you. I am happy to finally be 21 years old.
21. Ooh, he can drink now.
Sweet.
We'll run with that. I'm still 21 for the so many times. We'll leave it. We'll leave it.
You should get him some box wine with a bow on it.
Some Boone's Farm. Some Mad Dog 2020.
And if anybody believes that Devin is still 21, please message me. We need to chat. Anyway, we have some basketball to talk about, and do we have some basketball to talk about? Let's jump right into it with the Jazz and OKC. Last week when we recorded, the three of us predicted. I think we all three were in agreement on the split in OKC. Were we not, Devin, John?
Yeah, I mean, game two was the one I thought they would win. I figured Oklahoma City would win game one because they just have really good game one at home stats. And I figured after game one, Quinn would make his adjustments, and he did. And now he has to readjust to make sure they don't surprise him in game three. But I was so thrilled and relieved by the time game two ended.
As was I. Devin, you were saying?
I was cautiously optimistic.
Ooh, cautiously optimistic.
Because you didn't know. You didn't know what was going to happen. I did not expect Paul George, playoff P, Melo, and Russ to disappear, you know, in that fourth quarter. But I didn't expect him to come out guns a-blazing like he was in game one. So you didn't know what was going to happen, really.
I feel like the average is evened out.
Right, right.
I mean, listening to the radio the other day, Scotty G and Hans were going over playoff P, as you're calling him now. Is that the name he's going by now?
Yeah, that's
okay. So
that's playoff, his self-proclaimed nickname.
Oh dear, they were going over the averages of playoff P, and apparently from downtown for the last two seasons, he's averaging right at 40% from downtown. So let's not get too overly optimistic when he goes, I don't know, whatever he went in this last game, because 40% is where you expect him. And guys, 40% from three is damn good. So it's something to still anticipate and expect from him. Russ's post-game remarks, did you guys catch that? They asked Russ if the Jazz's defense really changed anything for him getting his looks and things. And he goes, no, I still got the looks I wanted. I got exactly what I wanted.
Sure he did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he got the looks. He just missed his shots.
Yeah. No, agreed. What a difference those two games made. I mean, we'll get to Donovan in a minute because I really want to get to Donovan because incredible. But first of all, let's talk about some of the other pieces. As far as the games went, John, I felt like two areas that improved from games one to two, Ricky Rubio and Derek Favors, Rudy Gobert combination down low. Those two things were huge in game two that were maybe not so huge in game one.
Yeah, I felt like they were put out of sorts in game one. Game one really wasn't as close as the final score suggested. And what was nice about game two is they adjusted to the physicality of game one. Thunder played a really physical game one. They played really physical in game two, but the Jazz seemed more prepared for that, and they are able to push through it better. And I mean, you know, I was frustrated at different points of the night, and I'm sure Thunder fans were too, at the inconsistency of how the game was being called. There was a lot of blatant fouls, I thought, that people got away with. And then later on, there would be these ticky-tack fouls that were getting called. And that's got to be frustrating for the players trying to figure out, okay, what exactly can I get away with? And what exactly are they going to get away with on me? Because that never felt consistent through the whole night. I think it all washed out. I was really annoyed in the first half, but I think it ultimately washed out with how inconsistent the refs were for both teams.
The one area that I expected this series to be really telling and maybe rough, that matchup with Steven Adams and Rudy Gobert. And to be honest, I mean, game one, you saw Steven Adams just got what he wanted. I mean, he really got inside, you know, got under Rudy's skin, I think, a little bit, pushed him out of the paint, really got what he wanted in game one. In game two, not so much. There is one thing that really irritates me, since you're on the subject of refs. Steven Adams really does sell a lot of those calls under the basket, doesn't he? Because I felt like there was two or three of those calls that got on Rudy, where Steven Adams fell to the floor almost in flop fashion to make it seem as though Rudy might have pushed him to the floor. Am I missing something here, or did it look like that to you?
Well, you kind of have to. I mean, that's the way they're groomed.
Right.
If officials are going to call certain things, they're going to miss certain things. I mean, like the final call on Adams, he had his hand on Rudy's body.
Right.
And he was swinging his arm forward, and he might complain about it, but that is a signal to the ref. If you have your hand on the guy, that is a signal to them that you're probably fouling him.
Right.
And I don't know if NBA rules are different than high school rules, but in high school rules, we are emphasized hand check. We are emphasized, you know, if the person is dribbling the ball and you are keeping your arm or your hand on them, that is a foul. And they don't call that a lot in the NBA, especially in the playoffs, it feels like, but that is still there. It is still technically the rule. So,
well, and
he can't really complain about that.
Well, and like I said, I felt like Rudy responded. I mean, Steven Adams early on got a couple of calls when he was rebounding the basketball or under their rebounding, where he fell out of bounds and got the call against Rudy for the push in the back on the rebound. But I felt there was one particular one in the fourth quarter. I think it was his fourth or fifth foul. Or third quarter, where Rudy kind of fell forward too, and you could tell, hey, Rudy, it's about time you figured out how to do that. You know, I love Rudy,
yeah,
but it's like, if you got to learn to play the game the other guy's playing. I mean, if Steven Adams is going to sell calls and try and get you into foul trouble, bait him back. Do it back. And I have been waiting for Rudy to do that very thing. Fourth foul on Steven Adams, wouldn't you know it? Rudy decides to take the little nudge in the back and overplay it a little bit, and he got the call. So you're, like you said, it's what players do, but it's just, it is a physical game, but there are some calls in both of these games that I'm just looking at the refs like, are you really doing this? But again, they even out. Law of averages, they even out in the end. Before we get to Donovan, the other player I want to ask you about, Joe Ingles, what did you see differently in game two from Joe that you didn't see in game one? Because I felt like Paul George locked him down in game one, locked him down big time.
He did. And I felt like whenever Paul George was on him in game two, he was still able to do that. But the Thunder had to shift their defensive plan. Paul George was on Mitchell a lot more this time around. And I expect to see that even increased. And so Joe was able to have a little more freedom. His numbers don't look that great, but I felt like he looked like more of himself, especially later in the game. I mean, his plus minus tells a story. I just thought that Joe was able to get comfort. He still kind of seemed out of it, especially in the first half when Paul George was on him most of the time. I mean, Paul George is a really good defender, but I thought Joe looked, overall, he looked better in game two than he did in game one.
Yeah, I agree. And Joe, you know, the one thing it encourages Joe to do is have a quicker release on his shot, something we've all begged for the last couple of seasons, and he's improved on, but he gets a window, he's got to put it up. And he did. There was one particular three I noticed where he just took that step back and dropped it very quick for a Joe Ingles style three and drained it. And he's going to have to do that more if he's not going to get much of a window with Paul George. But I agree with you that Paul is going to have to face Donovan. And why not when you've got Donovan Mitchell, who's averaged, who's put up 55 points in two playoff games. First time that over 50 has been put by a rookie since, oh, I don't know, number 23 in 1985, right? Mr. Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell's doing some crazy stuff in the playoffs right now. Crazy good stuff.
You want to go ahead and move on to what you anticipate game three is going to be like?
It's going to be, I think game three is going to be even more physical than games one and two. And I think the Jazz are going to respond with physicality because they're at home. But I just expect it to be much more physical. I think the Jazz will win game three. Might I even go as far as to say it could go to overtime? I could see an overtime game in this series, and game three might just be that game. But I expect that we're going to see the same in the fourth quarter and down the stretch that we saw in game two, where Donovan is going to have to impose his will again. And we're saying that about a rookie. He imposed his will in game two, and I think he's going to do it in game three again too. I think game three is going to be close.
Yeah, I see all of them being close, really. You know, this could be a series where every single victory is by single digits. And Thunder's a really good test. If the Jazz get past the Thunder, then they have truly been through battle. And that'll prepare them well for the second round. And I think I anticipate that Russ is going to try to dominate more in game three. I think the fourth quarter shooting numbers of Russ, Paul George, and Carmelo is going to be staring them in the face all day today, all day tomorrow. They're going to want to fix that. So I anticipate the Stars are going to try to do more themselves on offense, especially Russ, secondarily George. Melo is Melo. I think the Jazz are going to continue to do in game three what they did in game two, which is try to move their offense so that Melo's the defender on as many possessions as possible.
Why not?
Kind of funny how Thunder kept switching. They're like trying to get Melo away. It's like, get away from the ball. Get away from the ball. The ball's on your side again.
Those are the perfect opportunities for Joe Ingles, Derek Favors pick and roll. Get Melo in a pick and roll situation with Favors and Ingles, and they're going to beat you every time. And I know that's, you're right. Donovan and the Thunder are going to want to get away from that, Billy Donovan. But I the Jazz, you know, that's the thing. And I think Quinn has to dictate that very, very much off the start, off the get-go. He can't wait for the Thunder to see how they play. He's going to have to dictate that matchup, those matchups very early on, and let the Thunder try and adjust. Am I wrong to assume that?
No. And I will predict on game three that Donovan Mitchell will hit a three.
He hasn't hit one yet this series, has he? No. Has he?
No, he did in game one, but okay. He did not in game two.
I predict he will too. In fact, I'm going to predict right now, I think Donovan goes for 30 plus. So
30 plus.
All right. I want all three of us to do this right here. Games three and four. We predicted a split in the first games. This one's tougher to predict. I'm very hesitant, but I'm going to say the Jazz win both of them and go back to OKC up 3-1.
I would not be surprised if they split the series, but I do think Jazz are going to be able to win them both.
So you're in agreement. We go back to OKC 3-1.
Yep.
Okay, Devin, you were the one that was cautiously optimistic in the first two games in OKC. It's time for you to pick. Where do the Jazz end up after game four?
Nodded.
You're gonna go 2-2.
I'm going to say that they split the two home games.
Okay. So with that said, I know we might as well predict a series already. I don't know, but I've been saying Jazz and six. John's got the Jedi and Germs account that says Jazz and six. I'm not sure what the plus two means. So I'm assuming, John, you're on the Jazz and six.
Yes. What do you mean plus two?
Well, I just Oh, no, plus two was the message. That's why. I was reading the DM. It's because it's plus two because there's three of us in there. Never mind. So Jazz and six. John's got Jazz and six. I got Jazz and six. Devin?
I'll go Jazz and six.
Okay.
I just think it's going to, you know, be a little rougher getting there.
All right.
I think it stays close.
So you think the Jazz will win two in a row, meaning one at home and one on the road, and that, or maybe not two in a row.
Or maybe three in a row.
Or maybe three in a row. But okay, Jazz and six, we're all in agreement there. All right, moving on. Let's move on to NBA news and notes. We want to talk the other playoff series going on. John, go ahead.
Yes, going through the West, I watched part of the Houston T-Wolves game two. It felt like a scouting exercise, really, to see what Houston's doing and what Minnesota's doing. I just feel bad for Minnesota. I feel like they have a lot of talent on that team, and I don't understand what they're doing with Karl Anthony Towns. I just kind of wish they had a different coach, but who knows? We'll see. But I think Rockets are going to ultimately sweep that series. And they're going to have a lot of rest waiting for whoever emerges from Jazz Thunder. I watched part of the Pelicans Blazers, and I've been surprised. I think most people are surprised that that is a 3-0 series. The Pelicans are on the cusp of sweeping the Blazers. I never thought that would happen.
But okay,
Holiday and Rondo have been excellent on defense against Lillard and McCollum.
Yeah, they have. And here's two observations I have. First of all, back to the Rockets and T-Wolves. Ricky Rubio has won a playoff game and a playoff series, probably, if our predictions hold true.
No, you don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't you fine, dare
fine,
do that.
Fine, I won't jinx him. Okay, he's won a playoff game before the Timberwolves. Wow, guys, wow. All right, so I won't jinx him. My bad. I take the jinx back. I take it back. And then on the Pelicans series, who would have thought that an Alvin Gentry coached team would be doing this right now? Can I say that? Alvin Gentry. And the Pelicans are up 3-0, and they're not just beating the Blazers. They're hammering the Blazers.
Yeah.
Alvin Gentry. Let that sink in for a minute, guys.
You can sit there and say Alvin Gentry all you want, but the fact is they got Anthony Davis, who's going off, averaging more than 30 points per playoff game. The only person to do that aside from
Donovan Mitchell.
No. One other
kidding.
Player has a career average of 30 points or more in the playoffs.
MJ.
That's right.
MJ. Yep. MJ. Absolutely. No. And back to what you said, John, I mean, Drew Holiday and give Rondo credit, but Drew Holiday has been a stud on the defensive end. He's been so good. I've watched bits and pieces of the games they've played in. He's locked down. He is locked down on defense and just shutting down Lillard at times and McCollum at times. That's crazy.
Now, I have to ask, because I haven't watched the games, is it Holiday or is it a good defensive system?
No, Holiday's been good. He's been so good himself. One-on-one defender. He's been put in lockdown. John, I don't know. Do you agree or disagree? Has it been a system or has it been Holiday? I think it's Holiday.
Well, it's Holiday, but he's in a system that allows him to thrive.
Okay.
The playoffs has really been a coming out party for the Pelicans. Terry Stotts has not been able to counter whatever the Pelicans are doing or their who's their coach? Alvin Gentry.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm going to guess. My guess is the Pelicans are going to sweep. I just haven't seen the Blazers be able to counter what's going on there. I think they're going to be in a world of hurt in the offseason. They've got to figure out a way to get rid of Evan Turner's contract.
Agreed.
They just have too much payroll for what the results are.
So I got to ask before we go on to the next matchup. Terry Stotts, at the end of the regular season, looked like he was a potential coach of the year candidate. If the Pelicans sweep the Blazers, is it possible that swings from being a potential coach of the year to, hey, you're looking for a new job? Because I would think you get swept when you've got the 3 seed and you've got Dame, you've got CJ. I'm thinking the seed at least gets a little warm. Yes, no?
Yeah, I agree.
Have we seen a swing that fast, if you, that's
you,
the case?
You don't think so, John?
No, Terry Stotts. No, I maybe a degree. I even if they get swept, I do not think Terry Stotts is in trouble.
I mean, the one thing
you might see other teams ask the Blazers if they can talk to Terry Stotts, but no, I think the Blazers would be crazy to get rid of Stotts over this.
I think the one thing you do have to take into play is 3 seed or not. And Devin, you do mention 3 seed, but the separation in talent, players, ability,
they're only one game apart, though.
Between 3 and 8, those 5-6 teams. I mean, you're talking about millisecond differences between all those teams, and so for the Blazers to lose to the Pelicans isn't far fetched, really. I mean, the Pelicans. You think about this: if the Jazz got this matchup, what would we be looking at? I don't know that it would be that easy of a series for us either.
Oh, we would have won in 3.
No. Yeah. But no, I just, what the Pelicans are doing right now, I have to think, man, we might have drawn a better matchup, because that might have been a tough one for the Jazz too. Just my thoughts. Okay, moving on. Next series.
Golden State and San Antonio, that's going to end in a sweep as well.
Does Pop retire?
And I don't know. I mean, his wife just died. I think they'll be swept. They'll have an off season, and he'll want to think: Does he want to retire and have that much more time on his hands by himself, or does he want to throw himself back into the game? And I am inclined to think that he would rather throw himself back into work. It's been a rough year. It's been a strange year for the Spurs. But I think they try to figure out how to work things out with Kawhi, and if they can't, they try to see what kind of trade they do, and they just go from there. If Pop's wife hadn't died, I would lean much more heavily toward him thinking of just retiring. But because that happened, I don't know. I can just see someone wanting to just go ahead and throw themselves into work.
I completely agree, John. And I'm not sure if you guys saw, there was a clip from an interview that he was doing where they were asking about the job and how does he feel about the job, you know, when he's losing games. Does it take the fun away from it? And he talked a lot about the free food. And then he got more serious at the end, and he says, no, this is the greatest job on earth. You know, he says, I get to travel. I get put up in these hotels. I get the meals. I get to see these young men develop on the court, off the court. He was very professional and very appreciative of the opportunity that he has as an NBA coach. And so having heard that and knowing his situation, which our thoughts go out to the Popovich family, I can't see him walking away from the game at this time. You know, it has been a strange year.
Right.
But whatever's going to happen with Leonard is going to happen this offseason. Either he's going to get back with the team and they're going to figure this out, or they'll trade him and get assets back.
Right.
And Pop will be playing with a full deck of cards again. Because, I mean, to have your best player, a potential MVP candidate, and defensive player, what, two-time defensive player of the year?
Yep.
Sit on the bench the entire year. Yeah, that's... San Antonio is a lot better than their record shows and then their playoff display shows. Pop's still got it. He's still, in my opinion, the greatest coach of all time. And I hope he'll be back. He is,
I agree.
He is a treasure to the NBA and to the fans.
I agree. All right. I had some other questions about the series, but let's just move on to the East and let's talk Eastern playoffs real quick.
Let's see, East.
Toronto, Washington.
Toronto, yeah, I think Toronto's going to win. I think Washington will probably get a game or two, but I think Toronto's got that series, and I'm happy for them.
Okay.
Cleveland, Indiana, I think that's still up in the air. I I could still see Pacers taking that series. They got their split. LeBron seems to be on an island. If Kevin Love misses any time, I mean, I saw he injured his thumb toward the end of game two. I haven't heard anything on if he's going to miss any time or not, but Kevin Love seems to be the only one who knows where to go on the floor with LeBron. Rodney Hood's been a big disappointment. George Hill's been up and down.
Right.
That is just not a team built for the finals. It's going to be LeBron scoring 46 every game if they're going to get to the second round.
Okay, you know? I have to ask. If LeBron carries this team to the finals, what does that do for his legacy?
GOAT.
Yeah, absolutely GOAT. Best ever. Hands down.
Because it's bad, guys.
It's horrible.
I thought LeBron's going to do what LeBron did in game two. But if he has to do that through three different series.
And let's not forget, he did this with a bunch of scrums in 2007 and faced the Spurs. But this is entirely different. This is 33-year-old LeBron. And he's playing his best basketball of his career, yeah, I think,
in
the playoffs.
I'm not worried about him being 33.
This is just crazy. No, I'm with John, though. This is going to be a tough series, but playoff LeBron is here, and I love playoff LeBron, and I'm just going to leave that there. Okay, Boston-Milwaukee.
The skeleton crew of Boston wins because the Bucks just don't know what to do with themselves.
Do you feel bad for the Bucks? Because, I mean, Greek Freak looks good in this series. Again, he just looks good.
I don't feel bad for them because they're going to get a different coach next year, and then we'll see what they can do.
Okay.
He's going through bumps and bruises right now, but it is kind of sad that they have Giannis, they have Middleton, and you have Boston who's missing their two best players and a couple more on the side, and yet Boston is still able to just run circles around them.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, last but not least, Philadelphia and Miami. I'm just going to say this is over in five because Embiid is back, and holy crap, is he back? And Philly might just win the next two in a row.
He really clamped down on him in the fourth quarter, but I bet Miami still gets another game.
You think?
I bet he goes to six. Yep.
Okay.
I believe in Spo.
Well, and that's the thing. I can't take away from Spo and what he's done with Miami and what he continues to do. He's won championships, so he knows what he's doing. But just with Embiid back and that game last night, I didn't watch it live. I watched the replay of it on TNT afterwards, and they were neck and neck, back and forth, really good. But Embiid came alive late, and holy crap. I mean, they ended up pulling away by 28, was it? So, okay.
Well, it was 128 to 108.
Okay,
right.
20 points. That's what it was. All right. So that is playoff rundown. Do you wanted to look back at our predictions?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let me pull up the regular season standings, and we will go through how well we did.
I love this. And I think Devin loves this, too, because I think for the last 2 years, Devin is... I think we've kept score, and I think Devin's been beating us both years. I don't remember. Am I? Maybe not. Devin, wipe that smirk off your face.
You could be confusing my podcast basketball predictions with my on-the-court performance, because we know that for the past 2 years I've been schooling you on the court.
Oh, really? We're going
last
there.
Last year, Alan actually won.
Oh, I won last year. Oh, yeah, so that
you got 22, Devin got 21 on the over-under.
Sorry to burst. Sorry to burst your bubble, Devin.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Blind squirrel. Something.
Okay. Let's go through this. Warriors, 67.5. Devin and I took the over. Alan took the under. Warriors end with 58. So that one is Alan.
Yes, sir.
All right. Rocket, 55. You two took the over. I took the under. I was totally wrong. Alan's 2 for 2. Spurs, 54.5. Devin took the under. Alan and I took the over. for his finish with 47. That's another one for Devin. Zero so far. Thunder, 51. We all took the over. We all were wrong. Thunder finished with 48. T-Wolves, 48.5. We all took the under. We are all geniuses. So now we got Devin, 3-2-1. Nuggets, 45. Devin and I took the under. Alan took the over. Nuggets actually did finish 46. So Alan gets that one. Although I did have Nuggets in ninth place. That is amazing. 46 wins if they don't make the playoffs. All right, Clippers, 43. We all took the over. We were all wrong. They finished with 42. Blazers. Devin and I took the over. Alan took the under. Devin and I are right. We just finished with 49 wins. Jazz, 40.5. We all took the over. We all were right. That's one of the biggest swings of the whole thing. Pelicans, 39.5, and we all took the under.
Ouch.
Ouch. Grizzlies, 37. Devin took the under. Alan and I took the over. Devin got that one.
wait.
Look at him.
What was the number, and what did they finish with?
Grizzlies, 37 wins. Devin took the under. Grizzlies finished with 22 wins.
Oh.
Maverick, 35. We all took the under. We all get that one. Mavericks were that high. Lakers, 33. They finished with 35. Devin took the under. Alan and I took the over. Lightning up a bit there. Kings, 28. We all took the under. They were under. We all get that one. Ta-da. Suns, 28. We all took the under. They finished with 21. So, 9, 8. So, Western Conference. Devin got 9. Alan got 8. I got 7. Now we go to the East. Celtics, 56 wins. We all took the under. We were all right. They finished with 55 wins. Cavs, 53 wins. We all took the over. We all were wrong. They finished with 50. Raptors, 48. We all took the over. We all got that one right, too. We agreed a lot on the eight. Wizards, 47. We all took the over. We were all wrong. Bucks, 47. We all took the under. We were right. Heat, 43 wins. Heat actually got 44 wins, so the over is right. Devin and I got the over on that one. Sixers, 42. Devin and I took the over. Sixers finished with 52. So we were right on that one, too. Hornets, we all took the under at 42, and Hornets finished at 36. We all got that one. Pistons, we all took the under at 38. They finished at 39, so we missed that one. Magic, we all took the under at 33. And they finished at 25, so we all get that one. Pacers. Oh, here's a rich one. Pacers, 31 wins. We all took the under. They finished with 48 wins.
Oh.
Knicks, 30 wins. Devin took the over. Knicks had 29 wins. Alan and I got that one.
I need two more.
Nets. 28.5. We all took the under. Nets got 28. We all get that one. Hawks, 25. We all took the under. They got 24. We all got that one. And Bulls, 21.5. I took the under. Devin and Alan took the over. Bulls finished with 27. So Devin wins with 20.
Thank you.
You squeaked that one out.
Now, I also want to do our regular season awards.
Yes.
But I will go over who we predicted would be getting these awards. We obviously won't know who actually got them until June, but it's just fun to look back now.
Okay.
MVP, we all picked LeBron. Our second place, Devin picked Kawhi, Alan picked Kawhi, and I picked Durant.
Wow.
Harden did not make our top two. Our Harden loathing is shadowing our judgment here. All right. Defensive player of the year, we all picked Rudy. And we all had Draymond as second place. I don't think Draymond's going to be second place this year. Coach of the year, Alan and I picked Quinn Snyder. Devin picked Billy Donovan. Snyder, I think, has an outside chance. I don't think he's going to get it, but I think he has an outside chance. Devin's second was Pop. Alan's second was Pop. My second was Brad Stevens. We'll get to our guesses after this. Rookie of the year. Devin and I picked Ben Simmons. Alan picked Lonzo Ball. Alan's second was Simmons. Devin's second was Kuzma. My second was Dennis Smith Jr. Nobody saw Donovan Mitchell coming.
Nope.
Sixth man. Devin picked Lou Williams. I picked Lou Williams. Alan picked Jamal Crawford. Second place, Devin had J.R. Smith. Alan had Lou Williams. And I had Tristan Thompson. Boy, that off. All right. Most improved player, we all picked Nurkic. My second was Brandon Ingram. Alan's second was Julius Randle. Devin's second was Rodney Hood. And then the finals, we all predicted Warriors would beat the Cavs in the finals. Devin's dark horse is the Thunder. Alan's dark horse is the Celtics. My dark horse is the Rockets.
So there you go. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, there's only one thing I want to talk about, and that's Lonzo Ball as Rookie of the Year. That's the only part of that I want to focus on.
And my pick for Julius Randle is Most Improved. Wow. I don't know why I was picking that one at all. I must have pulled that one right out of a hat.
Well, you know, young team. Given a lot of time. It's not a bad pick.
So I think what maybe we should do is spend some time thinking about what we said. Why we said it.
You go to the corner and think about it.
And then maybe we should try this again next week and we can have a discussion about who we actually think deserves it now that we have the view. Because I mean, you think about it. My pick of Leonard wasn't that bad, and Popovich wasn't that bad. Stevens wasn't that bad of a pick for you. It's still a really good pick, actually, especially with the injuries that they've had. You know, it's been a weird year for the NBA with all these injuries.
Absolutely.
And you think about the Cavs shakeup, what that did.
Yeah.
And we have to rethink our self-loathing of James Harden long enough to just, wow. And my ever loving forever love for Jamal Crawford, and take a step back and go, okay, yeah, I was wrong.
It's okay. Remember, you picked Lonzo Ball to win Rookie of the
Year.
Shut it. Over Ben Simmons.
All right. I think that's a good idea. Let's do our picks next week. We'll think this over.
Okay.
Let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Guys, I really don't have anything. It's
wow.
There's some hockey. You know, they're playing the hockey, and
not interested.
And there's some baseball.
Not interested.
They're playing the baseball, and then there's a lot of NBA happening right now. You got the NFL draft coming up, but we're not there yet. We'll talk about that when it gets a little closer. So you know, I think we covered pretty much everything sports related. You okay just jumping straight to some pop culture?
I'm good with that. No quick hits this week, and that's okay. It's been a packed, loaded episode. So let's move on then to pop culture. John, you want to talk about, and I'm not even familiar with this name you've thrown in the topic discussion, Blockers.
Yeah. It's a Judd Apatow produced movie. It's about a group of parents who snoop on their kid's text line, and they find out that their three daughters are all planning on losing their virginity on prom night. And so they kind of freak out. So it all takes place over one night where the three parents are trying to track down their kids to stop them from losing their virginity while the kids are doing their thing, going from the dance to the party and whatnot. And it's pretty good. Leslie Mann is the star. She's Judd Apatow's wife. She's been in most of his movies. John Cena is one of the dads. And then Ike Barinholtz is another one of the dads. And he's one of those guys where you recognize him if you saw him, but it's kind of hard to explain who he is. He's done a lot of smaller parts. But it gave equal time to all of the kids. And I think that's the strength of the movie, is it made all of the kids complete characters as well. And you cared as much about them and their storyline as the parents. And it winds up being, it's pretty funny in its own right. And it has positive messaging. And so I liked it. I thought it was a good movie.
I've never heard of it until now. And I'm not going to lie, the story just doesn't entice me necessarily, but okay. Devin's got a smirk and he's over here snickering.
Yeah. Well, when you have teen daughters, you know, I'm not sure how much humor you can find in it, Alan.
Yeah, well, and I do have two teen daughters. Yes, I know.
I didn't know if he had to make the rooster noise before you said blockers, you know, because that's what it does on the commercial.
Yeah.
How's Cena?
I expected them to, like, say the full name during the movie, but they never did. Cena's pretty good. This is probably the best performance Cena has given so far in his career.
Really?
He's the overprotective, you know, sports freak dad who just does not know how to deal with this teen daughter with hormones, and he's like teaching her all these self defense tips and everything, and just super protective. Yeah, I was impressed. I think it's his best work to date. I think he's been wise in picking smaller roles to kind of build up his acting strength, like in Sisters or Daddy's Home or stuff like that. And so now that he's one of the comic leads, he's able to pull it off.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to throw something in here for just a second. I'm going to either get butchered by listeners, or I'm going to get applauded for finally coming to my senses. But I finally saw Deadpool. The first Deadpool.
Yes.
I liked it.
Good for you.
It was funny. It was awesome. I liked it. I really liked it.
It's exactly what you want from a Deadpool movie. And I'm glad Ryan Reynolds was able to convince the studio to get it made.
Well, the best part about it is my son, my 11-year-old son, soon to be 12, is a big Deadpool fan. He loves Deadpool. So he's wanted... He knows, like... This movie was just too not good for a kid, right? It just isn't. And so he knew he wasn't going to be able to see it. Well, it finally came on FX on TV, and I recorded it and we watched it. And I got to watch it with my son. I could tell he enjoyed it. There were some moments of uncomfortability because he felt like the violence was still a little too graphic, even on FX, even for TV, but he liked it. And so did I. I really got it. Deadpool fans, I get you. I get you now. That is a fun movie. And it now Deadpool 2 is coming up here next month. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did. So, Devin, you got anything else?
No, I still haven't seen Deadpool. I have the movie sitting out, just haven't thrown it in to watch it. But I'll watch it before the second one comes out. The second one comes out later this, is it the summer?
It's in May.
It's in May. Okay.
Yeah. May. Yeah.
So I'll watch it. I'll watch it sometime in the next month.
So, and yeah, I know you don't watch a lot of movies sometimes because you still have a couple of my Star Wars films that I loaned you. So.
Yeah. I donated those to the DI.
Hey, whoa. All right.
I wanted to point out that today's movies opening are I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer, Super Troopers 2, and a movie called Traffic that I haven't seen a preview for, but they're all getting bad reviews. So I expect my expectation is The Quiet Place will take back the number one spot at the box office.
None of them interest me whatsoever.
I'm totally on the Super Troopers 2.
Of course you
train.
Are.
I I don't think you've seen the first one, have you, Alan?
Enough of it that I just thought it was, I don't know, there was some funny. I get it.
It's, I have to go see that one. That may be one that I get out to the theater for, so we'll see.
When and is it this next, yes, next week, Avengers.
Avengers
so,
in 1 week.
Yeah, and so when we record next Friday, Avengers will have been out in the theater already because it comes out Thursday night into Friday morning. So we'll have to talk. I believe you want to put together your blockbuster schedule next week, correct?
Yep. Next week I'll be doing my summer box office preview.
Awesome. So we look forward to that. We will give our final predictions on season awards for the NBA, and hopefully we'll be looking at the Jazz up in the series with Oklahoma City and possibly better. So that'll do it for this week's episode 147 of Jedi and Germs. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate the love and support you always give to us. We are excited for the rest of the playoffs to carry out. Won't you join us as we continue to watch and talk about it? Find us on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just look up Jedi and Germs. Thank you all. And have a good week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.